Good morning, church. Welcome. This morning, I want to talk about a little word that we see quite often in the scriptures, and a word that perhaps today we don't fully understand because we live in a time where this word is, sad to say, seldom used or practiced. And the word I want to speak to us about this morning is the word honor. And, you know, for the most part, when you think of that word, many of us come up with definitions in our mind as to what we think that word really means. But we, as Christians, we do use this word a lot in our worship. You know, we honor you, Lord, you know, give all praise and honor unto the King of Kings. And we also see it written in our Bibles. But this morning, I want to take a real good look at this word so that we can have and grasp a better understanding of what it means to honor, what the word even means, and especially how to honor our God and our Heavenly Father. So my first question this morning is, do we only think of that word as in light of worship when we're worshiping our Heavenly Father? Or do we use the word or think of the word in the light of our everyday lives? Jesus said in Mark chapter 7, when he was speaking to the Pharisees, and in verse 6 he said, "Well has Isaiah the prophet spoken, for this people honors me with their mouth, but their hearts are far from me." So that in and of itself is telling us that honoring God is not something that we do outwardly. They're honoring me with their mouths, but their hearts are far from me. So let me ask, what brings honor to our Father? What honors our Heavenly Father? Is it all the things we do for Him, sacrifices we make for His sake? Is it our good works and our good deeds that we do for Him every day? And if you were to ask most Christians that question, what brings honor to your Heavenly Father? I would say most of them would reply, oh, what brings honor to God is to obey Him. To obey God is to honor God. And all of the above are to some degree very true. I'm not against doing good things and putting the kingdom of God in your life as something important. I'm not against you obeying God. But at the end of the day, all of these things are still works of your flesh, things you do. And Jesus even said, you honor me with your mouth. That's something we could do. We sing and praise, worship, and honor God with our mouths when we worship Him. But what's going on in the heart? Then he says, your hearts are far from me. So all of the things that we do are still works of the flesh. And if that's what you're doing, so to speak, to honor God, you're still living under the old covenant or under the law. And under the law, it was all about obeying God's commands. To honor God in the old covenant was to obey the commandments of God. That was honor, obedience. But in the new covenant, when we try to honor God by obeying the law of Moses, now the Bible calls this dead works. Why dead works? Because at the end of the day, all of those works can't make you righteous, and so they're useless. There was no one who could keep the entire law in order to be righteous before God or acceptable to Him. Because you had to keep the law perfectly at all times. You could never lapse. And if you lapsed just one time, you were guilty of breaking it all, and the penalty for that lapse was death. And so in the new covenant, it calls that dead works because it's not, you're not getting anywhere with it. And God found fault with that system. Even though the law was all holy, it was all good, and it was just, we couldn't keep it. Because by keeping it, it couldn't make us holy, good, and just. So Jesus came away, we know, or came down to take away the old covenant and establish the new. I don't have to tell us that here this morning. We all know that. So how, the question then, is do we honor God in the new? If in the old it was by obedience to the law, how do we honor God in the new covenant? I want us to turn over to the book of, or the Gospel of John, chapter 5, and I want to read from verses 22 to 24. John chapter 5, verses 22 to 24. In verse 22, Jesus says, "For the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor that all men, pardon me, should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honors not the Son honors not the Father, which has sent him." Verse 24, "Verily, verily," what does that mean? "Verily, verily," that means absolutely, assuredly so, "I say to you," Jesus says, "he that heareth my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life and will not come unto condemnation, but he is passed from death to life." Assuredly, absolutely, positively, he who hears my word and believes on him that sent me. So here it's telling us to honor our Heavenly Father, first of all, is to honor the Son. And to honor the Son, he goes on to say, we just read it in verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word." In order for us to honor, or if we want to put a definition behind honoring the Son, he's saying right here is, you will honor my word, he who hears. You will honor God's word, he that hears and believes. So my question is this: how much weight do you give to the word of God in Christ? How much weight do you give it? Because to honor something is to give something weight in your life. We honor a lot of things. I mean, we honor, our money. We give it a lot of weight. We study it. We look at it, see what's left, what's not left. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, "Man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." So to honor God in our lives is to honor his word, to live by his word. Give his word weight in our lives. And you know, when you think of the word of God, and it's hard to even put it into words, English words, but when you really stop and give it some thought about the word of the living God, and especially to those of us who have a broader understanding of God's word, it is really the most valuable, precious thing that you have. It far exceeds money, fame, fortune, great talents, or anything else that is precious or valuable in the world. Far above it. Everything that we and natural man puts a value on in the world, whether it's fame, fortune, whatever it is that we value, you know, we put a value on education. We put a value on, I mean, when somebody's very, very educated, you know, we honor that. That means you esteem it, give it weight. But this far exceeds it. Because everything that we give weight to in the world was created by the Word. It all came from the Word. Now, we know that the whole Bible itself is the Word of God. But in the Old Covenant, which was written before Jesus came, they do not or we're not honoring God in the same manner as we are to honor him in the new covenant. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. It says this, God, who at different times and in different manners spoke in times past, speaking of the old covenant, unto the fathers, unto this people, through the prophets. Verse 2, but has in these last days, which is the new covenant, spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds, or all things. Then again in Mark chapter 9, when Jesus was transfigured on the mount, he went up in the sight of, he went up to mount in the sight of Peter, James, and John. And there he was transfigured, and he became all bright and shiny. I don't know how else to explain it. And there appeared with him up on the mount Elijah and Moses. And they were all three in this cloud of glory, shining like nothing on the earth would shine. And the three apostles witnessed this. And so they were very afraid because they didn't understand what they had just seen. So when Jesus started to walk down towards them, because of the lack of anything else to say, Peter says, Lord, should we build three tabernacles or three temples, one for you, one for Elijah, and one for Moses? I mean, he was, you know. And then there was a cloud that came over, verse 7 of Matthew chapter 9. It says, and there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud and said, this is my beloved Son, hear him. Hear him. Not Elijah, not Moses. That's the old covenant. There's only one we ought to hear, and it's Jesus. And all of the things pertaining to him. That is the good news of the gospel. Moses and Elijah had their day. But the old covenant has passed away now. And so when I talk about God's word and referring to honoring God by honoring his word, we honor the word of the new covenant, the word of Christ. That brings honor to our Father. Now, going back to Hebrews chapter 1, and this chapter is speaking of the deity, really, of Christ and the superiority of who he really is and his finished work. And in verse 3, it says, Jesus, who was the brightness of God, the image, the express brightness of God, who is the express image of God, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself, don't you love that? By himself, purged our sins. He didn't need your help. He sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. There it speaks of his deity, of his finished work. Then in chapter 2, verse 1, chapter 2, Hebrews verse 1, it goes on to say, therefore. Why is therefore? Whenever you see the word therefore, it all has to do with the preceding chapter or the preceding teaching. They're first of all telling you who Christ really is. He was the express image of God. He was God himself. He came down, and through his death, he purged your sins. He washed you completely clean by his blood. Then it says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. We have to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. How many times do we hear the word of the Lord? We go to church, or we turn on a television program or whatever, and it's so good. And it so blesses you and lifts your heart. But over time, the same word that you heard just becomes maybe a nice thought, or you forgot altogether what you heard. And that is so common among Christians. We still do not understand the mysteries of the kingdom. We've heard about it, but we're not really sure that we understand it correctly, maybe, or that we even maybe believe these mysteries. We still struggle with who we are in Christ, and not only who we are, but what we have been freely given. So I want to turn to Mark chapter 4. And here in Mark chapter 4, Jesus shares with his disciples and actually with all that were there, the parable of the sower and the seed. And Jesus even says, if you do not understand this parable, how can you understand anything? So we know that this is a key, this is key to us having an understanding of the kingdom of God and how it operates. Now we know that Jesus shared about four types of soil in this parable. And we also know from many teachings over the past that the soil is representative of our hearts. Okay, the soil represents our hearts. And the seed that the sower sows is what? The word of God. It's God's word. Remember, we're talking this morning about how do we honor God in the new covenant. And so this parable teaches that of the four soils, or the four hearts, we could say, there's only one soil or one heart that actually produces a harvest when the seed is sown, which is the word of God. Only one heart out of four produces a harvest. And, you know, we study that and we try to figure out what is it that causes that one heart to produce a harvest. But in verse 10 of chapter 4, the disciples come to Jesus and they ask him, after he first of all shared this parable, they wanted him to explain it to them. Because the way he shared it the first time was a little different than, there's two accounts of it, than the way he explained it to his disciples. So in verse 11, Jesus says to them, first of all, before he explains what it means, he says, unto you is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. He's going to share the mystery. And it's something that we need to hang on to that. This is the mystery. This is how God's kingdom works. It's a mystery to the world, but it's not a mystery unto me. Because Jesus says, unto you it's given to know this mystery. But unto those who are without, all these things that I speak are spoken in parables. So why? Because seeing that they may see and not perceive, not understand, or that they might hear, and in hearing they don't understand. Remember, we learned about 3 weeks ago when I was talking about the Holy Spirit that's been given unto us, and that the things of God that we do understand have been given to us and brought to our understanding through the Holy Spirit, because God's word is spiritually discerned. God even said, my word is spirit and it's life. And so the natural man cannot understand it with your natural mind. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit, but we have the Holy Spirit, that we might know the things of God. And so Jesus is saying, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom. So we need to believe that. We need, as God's children, we have the Holy Spirit. So we know we can understand the mystery of God's kingdom. Then Jesus goes on and begins to expound or explain to them this parable, which is the main basic. He says, if you can't understand this, you can't understand any of the mystery of God's kingdom. And he begins to explain the different types of soil and or hearts. Now, the one thing that you got to understand is the seed that was sown, the same seed was sown to all four hearts. The same word was given, and all four types of soil or hearts had the same word given to them. Now, every heart, all of those four, all of the soils, all had the same capacity to bring forth a harvest. So everything is, at that point, it's all fair, it's all the same. Okay? But only one produced. Why? Well, in verse 21, if you read the whole parable, of course, he gives the reasons. He's, you know, the deceitfulness of riches, the cares of other things, you know, and then there's the one that has the thistles and the thorns that gets choked. And I mean, it's talking about the things in our heart that choke out the word of God. And it talks about, you know, a hard heart, and it goes on and he gives all the reasons. But then he ends it, and that's where I want to go, in verse 21, after he shared the parable about the different types of soil and the things that are allowed into the heart. He says in verse 21, he begins to talk about a candle. Exactly, right after the explanation of what this parable means. Now, and I, you know, as I was looking at it last night, I thought, okay, there is a specific reason Jesus immediately threw in this right after. And for years, I used to read it and skip that part because I didn't understand it. It was like, I mean, I don't know. He goes from one thing, and sometimes in our thinking, we think he's just going up, down, over, and, you know, and you're trying to figure it all out. So a lot of times you just take the parable and you don't teach it in light of what he says at the end of that chapter. And it's important. So last night as I was just studying this again, and I mean, I had an idea of, you know, I mean, a little bit of an idea of what it meant. But as I was looking at it and reading it, and I saw Jesus begins to talk to them about a candle, immediately I knew that the candle represented the word that had been sown into the hearts of those four people. Okay, because the word of the Lord is the candle of the Spirit, is the candle of the Lord. It's the light of the Lord. When you have the word of God, it's the light. It's the revelation of who God is. So he goes on to say, do you put a candle under your bed? When a candle is lit, do you stick it under a bed? Jesus says. And so you got to think about that. And we know the candle is symbolic to the light, the revelation of the word that was planted. Do you stick it under a bed? When we hear God's word or the truth of the gospel about Jesus, when we hear about his goodness and his grace, what do we do with it? Jesus says, put it, do you light a candle and put it under the bed? Do you not put it on the mantle where it can give light to the whole house? Now, the mantle, to me, is symbolic of the center of the room so that it can light up the whole room. And that's what he was saying. Or do you put your light under the bed? Do we put God's word in the center of our hearts where it can be seen, where it can light, give light to the rest of our heart? Or do we treat God's word as common and shove it, so to speak, under the bed? And when you shove things under the bed, guess what happens? First of all, it doesn't give much light. I mean, a candle's not going to give light to your room if you've got it under the bed. And secondly, things you shove under the bed are soon forgotten. Now, a good heart, because the Bible says it was the good soil. The fourth heart was the good soil. A good heart is the heart that receives just because it's God's word. You may not even understand it. You may not even believe it. But because you honor the word of God, it is weighty to you. You know if it's God's word, it's powerful. And that is something I believe that delights the heart of God, is when you approach his word in that manner. You know, you're going to see something that you may not understand fully. You may not even believe it. But you're not going to put it under the bed because you know simply one reason. My Heavenly Father has spoken this. So it's powerful. And you put it in the center of your heart where it gives light. And eventually it begins to light up. And you know the truth will come. You'll understand that word. But it all goes back to, how do you see the word of God? Do you honor it as God's word? Or do you treat it as common and shove it under your bed? It's just another good saying. So what that's telling us is, when we honor the word of God and we put it on the lampstand where it might give light to all of the room, what is that telling us? That the heart that produced a harvest meditated. When you put the word in the center of your heart, it becomes the pivotal point. It becomes the center, or in the midst of your heart, is the center of your heart. To me, that's a picture of meditating on that word, letting that light shine until the whole room is filled with light. So it's meditation on the word of God. Then, right after Jesus shares that part about the candle and putting it under the bed, he says in verse 23, and this is something that the Lord brought to my attention about 3 weeks ago when I was just looking for a word through my concordance, and I went to the word here. I was shocked at how many times the word H-E-A-R, here, you know, like with your ears, is written in the scriptures, hundreds of times. And I'm like, whoa. And Jesus says this in verse 23 of Mark 4, and when he ends the parable, he says, if any man have ears, let him hear what I'm saying. Because this is the mystery of the kingdom. And if you understand this parable and this mystery, the kingdom of God is yours. If any man have ears, let him hear. Take heed, he says in verse 24, to what you hear. For with what measure you shall meet, in other words, how much attention do you give to God's word? What measure you meet to what you hear will be the measure that's given back to you. And to you that have, even more will be given. In other words, when you have a revelation in your heart of the word of God, you don't have the full revelation, but you have revelation. In that light, you will see more light. And the light will just get brighter and brighter and brighter. And then he goes on to say, for he that has, more will be given. And he that has not, from him shall be taken even that which he has. So all of the four hearts had the same capacity to receive the harvest. And the only reason, because sometimes we look at our own lives and we wonder why we're not being fruitful in certain areas, or, you know, and we think, oh, is it this or is it that? Or, you know, and yet this parable is teaching us it's not, you know, because a lot of people will say, well, you know, sin will keep you from receiving a harvest. Well, you know, I'm against sin, but that's not what this parable is teaching. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. For the measure and of thought and study you give to the truths that you hear will be the measure of virtue. There's another, there's one translation that uses the word virtue, which means power. The measure of the power of God's word that's going to be returned to you. And we know that the word of God is living, powerful. It is the thing that created the whole universe. And that same word comes alive in you and brings to pass the things that are impossible in the natural. So the only, okay, there's the only reason the three hearts that did not receive the full harvest is because they neglected the word of God. They neglected God's word. I believe that they did not honor the word of God as God's word. Now, there's many times we're in a situation where we don't have a lot of time. You know, we're diagnosed with something. We got limited amount of time. And yes, in that case, sometimes it's really hard to have to receive the revelation of the word of God, if you have not been immersed in it. But God be praised, the Holy Spirit, he can speed up things, he can slow down things, and I'm not trying to make this hard for us. But what I am trying to say is, as we, in our everyday life, if we will take God's word and meditate on it, honor God by honoring his word, keep the word in our hearts, then you know what, we're already lighting. And when we do come up against maybe extreme things that might come our way in life, guess what? We've got that treasure already. We've got the treasure. Honor God's word just because it's God's word. And when we honor it, when we value it above other things, when you esteem or account his word as being precious, and count yourself as being so very privileged to be able to hear it and be one that has been called to have the mystery of the kingdom revealed, because that's what Jesus was saying. You are special. The kingdom, you are the ones chosen for the kingdom to be revealed. Count yourself special and privileged to be able to even understand the word of God. Then you are honoring God and his word. And when you honor God's word will end up honoring you. It will. It will lift you to a position that you weren't trying to aspire to it. But honor is something that, you know, I believe touches the heart of God very much so. It's those little things you can't see. You know, we see only outwardly. We see people in the light of what they do or don't do. But God looks at the heart. And the one that honors his word, that pleases God. When you look at God's word and you give weight to it in your life, that's very pleasing to the heart of God. And I know that we come to church. I mean, those of us this morning that are sitting and listening, or if you're hearing, listening in, over the internet, think of it, you're giving honor to God. You're putting yourself in a position to hear the word of God. That honors God. But we need to continue on. We need to put that word in the midst, in the center of our lives. Not just on Sunday morning. Or on Wednesday night when you join a Bible study, or on, you know, you need to keep the Word of God lighting your heart, lighting your life every day. Honor God's Word. Proverbs chapter 4, we're going to close with this. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. It says, "My son, attend." What does the word attend mean? "Pay attention to my words. Incline your ear unto my sayings." In other words, hear. He who has ears to hear, listen. You know, in the Old Covenant, it says, "Let not your words," verse 21, "let not my word depart from before your eyes." You know, in the Old Covenant, when Joshua first went in to possess the promised land, remember in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, where the Lord says, you know, about his commands and his word, he says, "Joshua, meditate in my word day and night, put it between between your eyes, that you might never lose sight of my commandments, for then you shall have good success." Well, it's kind of saying the same thing here, but it's not talking about God's commandments anymore in the new covenant, but it's talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us and all of the things that he died to give us. It's talking about his grace and his favor. And sometimes we hear the word about his grace and his favor, but we don't keep it in the midst of our heart. How do we keep something in the center of our lives? We focus on it. We meditate on it. We speak it. We call ourselves blessed. I have favor because he has favor. As he is, so am I in this life. That brings honor to God, to prove the good and acceptable word of the living God. When you think about it, everything hinges on God's word. If it hadn't been for the word of the living God, the gospel message, you would have never been able to get saved. And when we think about struggling to believe the word of God, sometimes, you know, think of it this way. You were able to believe the word of God to the saving of your soul, your spirit. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with his mouth confession is made unto salvation. Think about that. The greatest thing that could have ever happened, you became new, brand new, in the twinkling of an eye. As fast as your spirit went from darkness to light, that's how fast it's going to happen when this body changes as well. That's why this Bible says, in a twinkling of an eye, you shall be changed. As fast as your spirit that was dead came to life in Christ, the moment you believed, that's what's going to happen to this body. Wow. heavenly life. But anyways, can you understand what I'm trying to say? As quickly as that happened, how did you get saved? How did you come from darkness to light just like that? You heard the word. The word went into your heart. You believed that word. And you instantly received. So it happens so quickly. And the word of God is so powerful that it can take you from darkness to light in the blink of an eye. So how much more can God quicken that same word and your body can be completely healed or completely youthful, whatever. You understand what I'm saying? Why do we make it so hard when God did the most impossible thing? A man that was dead, he brought him back to life just like that. And it was through the word of God. That same word will bring life. It'll quicken your body. It'll quicken your mind because God's word is spirit and it is life, sharper than any two-edged sword. It can cut and divide. He knows exactly where to go for maximum benefits. We just trust it. Put it in the center of your heart. Honor it. Because in doing so, you are honoring your Father in a way that the world doesn't even know about. And if you could only see the heart of God when he sees one of his children honoring his word. It's not about all that you do and all of the wonderful works that you do for God. Remember Mary and Martha? Martha was so busy trying to serve the Lord. What was Mary doing? She was honoring God. She was listening to Jesus' word and getting it into the center of her heart. And Jesus even said, Mary has chosen the good. Why? So her heart is good soil. And no one, he said, can take that from her. And so let's choose the good, which is God's word. And that good will produce a good heart and a good harvest. It's not about what you do. It's all about what he's already done. Never walk away from that or get so busy. Oh, yeah, right. But yeah, I know. You know, there's so many Christians that have come to the knowledge of the truth at one point in their lives in different areas. And as the years go by, because they maybe left the churches. They maybe stopped reading the word of God and they got caught up in other things. And when you bring them back to that, they look at it and they go, oh, yeah, I know that. But. And what they're saying is there's other things now that are occupying my heart that are more precious, that I give more weight to. It might be, you know, the word of their doctor. It might be, like, I don't know. But let's never walk away from the word of God. Neglect not so great a salvation. Hebrews chapter, it says that in chapter 2. I didn't get to that. But let us not neglect so great a salvation as this that God has given us. This is the mystery of the kingdom, guys. And as this mystery unfolds, it's simply God's word that we need. His word of truth, the finished word, the finished work. It's already yours. If God says that I am righteous in his word, then bless God. That's the truth. I may not fully understand it or even fully believe it. But because it's God's word, I'm going to honor that word and I'm going to keep it in the center of my heart. I'm going to pay attention to it. I'm going to take heed to it. I'm going to confess it. I'm going to meditate on it. That's what honoring God is all about. So my son, attend to my words, pay attention. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let my word not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst. The midst words means in the center of your heart. Keep them in the center of your heart. Do you know that back in the Garden of Eden, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 9, it tells us that God planted a garden. And he planted the tree of life in the midst of the garden, in the center of the garden. Now, the garden there again, like I said, everything repeats itself. The garden there was symbolic of the soil, right? The soil of our heart. And God planted the tree of life, it says, in the center, the midst of the garden. And it says, if you go back and read Genesis chapter 2, verse 9, it says, God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. And it says, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So tell me, what was in the midst, in the center of the garden? The tree of life. And then it just goes to add, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But was the tree of life in the center? Yes. If we understood Hebrew and the way they write, you'd see it was the tree of life. But if you go to Genesis chapter 3, and this is some of the wiles of the enemy, okay? This is what happens before we fall. It says in Genesis chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, in the day of temptation, when Eve was tempted by Satan, she said to him, after he spoke to her, in verse 2, oh, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, verse 3, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you will not eat of it, lest you die. So in her heart, what was in the midst, in the center? It was not the tree of life. It was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so you are the one who decides what's going to be in the center of your own heart. God had put the tree of life in the center. She exchanged it for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so God has given us here. Come unto me and hear. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing. You're the one who decides what's going to be in the midst of your heart, in the center of your heart. So in Eve's heart, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was central. And when something is central in your heart, that means it occupies the chief place. You're giving weight to it. So let's go back to and finish Proverbs 4, verse 22. Keep God's word in the center of your heart, in the center of your life. Verse 22, for these words, God's words, are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. So when we honor God, God in turn honors us with life. That same word, because God in his word, in the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God. And that word became flesh and dwelt among us. Who was the Son? He who honors the Son, who is the word, honors the Father. And when we honor the Son and his word, we're honoring all that he did for us. And how that word honors us is he'll honor us with life, health, prosperity. And it all begins by us taking God's word and placing it in the center of our hearts. That's the mystery of the kingdom. It's not about what you do. It's about what's in your heart. And in doing so, we bring the greatest honor to our Heavenly Father. And someday, when we get to heaven, I know that all of these parables and these mysteries that were so hard for us to comprehend here will be, it's just going to be all revealed to us. And we're going to look at it and think, whoa, it was all there. We just didn't see it. So I challenge us this week to meditate on what I'm saying here this morning and realize how precious the treasure is that you have, the light that you do have. Because the Bible tells us that he who has, more will be given. And put God's word in that good soil. Keep it in the center of your heart. And don't let it go. See, that's the thing. Until you see the harvest, because then Jesus goes on and he shares other parables, all to do with the kingdom, about the man who sows the seed, the farmer. And then he rises and he sleeps and he rises and he sleeps. And as he's doing all that, the seed is growing and producing a harvest. And he goes out, he doesn't know how it's done, any more than we know how the word of God planted produces a harvest. All he knows is when that harvest is ready, he cuts her down. And so what that's telling us is when the light has finally broke through and shone, we know it's ours. And the words, it says he puts in the sickle and he cuts the harvest. It's our words. Once we've seen it, it's like, yes, it's mine in Jesus' name. But there's a time period, there's a period there where the seed has to grow and produce. So don't abort your seed. Don't walk away from it. Look after your seed until it produces a harvest. 100-fold is what I want. Not 60, not 30. I want 100-fold. And that's a whole nother message as to what that all means. But I'm just saying, let's take this word seriously and let's plant God's word and give all the honor unto our Father, because his word is God's word. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you for your word this morning.